Making abortion legal never made it sanitary or safe. See evidence next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. I'm joined by Mark Crutcher, President and Founder of Life Dynamics. Mark, welcome again to the program.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
We want to talk about a fascinating tour you recently took. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, not too long ago, a common friend of ours, Troy Newman from Operation Rescue, called me, and he had just bought a building in Wichita, Kansas, in which resided a local abortionist. Mm-hmm. And he'd thrown him out. His lease was up, and he threw this guy out, and so they had closed down. And, of course, as the new owner, Troy had access to the building, and he said, you've got to come here and see this place. He said, this is the nastiest, rat-infested, roach-infested cesspool you've ever seen. And that's exactly what it is. And so we went up there and took a tour of the facility and filmed what we saw. And the only bad thing about this, Father Frank, is this footage you're fixing to show in a minute cannot possibly describe what it was really like. It makes it look cleaner than it really is. It was nasty. It smelled horrendous. It was just filthy. I mean, if people think the days of the back alley abortion are over, they're nuts. They just took the opening from the back onto the front and just kept on doing what they were doing before.
They made it legal, but did not regulate it in any way, shape, or form.
Well, you can't do a wrong thing right.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I don't care. And this is trying to so-called clean up abortion by making it legal would be like trying to clean up prostitution or pornography or anything like that. You're never going to do it. It can be legal for the next 10,000 years, and it's still going to be what it is.
And the sad thing also about what we're going to see is that it is by no means the exception. It's the norm for
Unfortunately,
abortion
that's,
clinics.
Yes.
So let's take a look at what you filmed. Brothers and sisters, you're about to see a tour of a very recently closed legal abortion clinic in the United States. Please watch.
I think, Troy, what we have to first established with people is that this place didn't deteriorate over years of being abandoned or empty. This was an operating abortion clinic just a few weeks ago.
No, the signs are still up. The phones are still ringing here.
Right.
This is an abortion facility that was killing children just a couple of weeks ago.
Right. And it's also not a function of the fact that this is a rundown neighborhood, because right next door we have a crisis pregnancy center. The building is just as old as this one.
Sure.
And it's nice. I mean, it's not rundown and shoddy. They've kept it up nice.
Yeah.
It's a difference, I think, in the pride. And you cannot take pride in killing babies. And I think what we're about to show people is going to prove that.
Certainly there's no pride of ownership in this place.
No, absolutely not. Well, let's walk on down this way, Troy. First off, Troy, explain this yellow line to us.
Well, the Crisis Pregnancy Center is located just on the other side of this line.
Right.
And pro-lifers would stand just toe on right here, and we're able to present a message of life to each of the women that were entering into this facility and coming out.
And so they put the line there to keep you guys from...
Right. And this property is owned by A Better Choice, and they have always offered their property to the sidewalk counselors and allowed us to stand there. And, of course, we're able to bring women in right into that door to offer them help.
All right, now, Troy, was this the front door of the abortion clinic?
No, this door was always locked. There's a solenoid here, and you can never get in. The only thing this door was used for is as the women were coming out, they would very shakily oftentimes come right here and get into a car door and speed away.
Okay, this looks like when this building was built, this was the front door. If they're not using this for the front door, how did a woman get into the facility?
They'd have to come in through the back alley.
Now, Troy, so this is where they actually came into the facility and parked, is that right?
Right. The abortionists would park here, and each of the patients would line up here.
Wow.
And when they came in, this would be the first thing that the woman would see. This would be the door that they entered into the abortion clinic. So this is the first thing, Mark, that the woman would see as she's coming in from the back alley. Obviously, this is a filthy, putrid conditions. In fact, this was actually the room that they would use to sterilize the equipment. The sterilization machine sat right up there in the corner.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, you think about sterilizing equipment in here. You got
a door that opens to a parking lot. You got people just walking back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I look around this room and I see things like, there's a right here under the sink. I mean, this place is filthy, but you've got an ungrounded electrical outlet by the water inlet there.
And it's leaking.
Right. Look at this. You got a hole in the wall. What is that? I mean, that, and you know, you just look around here, and I mean, you look up here. Look at the cobwebs.
Cobwebs, wires coming through the walls.
Right.
The most common surgical procedure is abortion, and this is the sort of facility that it's done.
Show me the rest of it.
Sure. Right down this way. And this is the office manager's office here.
It's pretty nasty looking. I've worked in a lot of offices. I wouldn't want to work in one that looked like this. Wow, Troy, look at this biohazard sticker here on this little, basically, is a closet door. You know, if there's anything biohazardous put in here, wouldn't you want it more secure than that?
God knows what they stored in there.
Obviously, it wasn't very secure.
Now, brace yourself. Another real clean, sterilized room in an abortion clinic.
Oh, this is amazing. Look at this. Look how nasty it is in that cabinet. The cabinet's got a big hole in the side of it. Again, you've got ungrounded outlets. You've got nasty-looking carpet, and the floors are, the walls are terrible-looking. Yeah. Anybody thinks the days of the back alley abortion are over? They're nuts. Okay.
Now, Mark, this was not a procedure room. This is where they stored their records.
Medical records. Yeah.
Right.
They didn't take much pride in it either, did they? Look at the ceiling they did a double drop down ceiling. It's got holes in the wall.
Okay, here's another odd shaped room. We don't know what went on in here, but one thing that's very interesting is this door doesn't meet fire code. It's locked. This is the one from the outside that we noticed was caulked.
Oh yeah.
So if anyone had to exit this building, they would come to this door and they absolutely could not get out, which violates every fire code in the country.
Not a city in the United States would give you a certificate of occupancy with that sort of situation.
Light switch that doesn't work.
It didn't work when y'all
first came in. And you'll see this is where the pregnancy tests were probably performed. And you notice the toilet is leaking and they just caulked around it. And this is where women would sit and wait prior to their abortions. But I've got to show you something that is extremely interesting. Right over here, you've got a sticker declaring this place to be, as of last year, an NAF member.
National Abortion Federation.
Right. And it says that this facility certifies that it complies with all the current standards of quality abortion care set forth in the National Abortion Federation's 2005 Clinical Policy Guidelines.
Wow. It's nice to know that you're in such a high-class facility.
I'll tell you, there's some real high standards here.
Right. Yep, sure is.
For some place. Huh?
Right. Not for a medical facility.
Maybe breeding cockroaches.
Right. Well, it does do that. Okay.
Okay, Mark, this is where the staff would sit and probably collect the medical forms and so forth.
Right. That's one thing I keep thinking about is forget the lack of cleanliness from a medical standpoint for the patient. I wouldn't want to work in a place like this.
Who'd want to come work in a place like this every single day?
It's
depressing.
You
see the little bottle there? It says Odoban. We found throughout the whole clinic tons of air freshener.
Well, it needs it. Well, this is room number one.
Right. This was a procedure room, and a lot of babies died here over a period of about 23 years.
Wow.
So the table sat here. Obviously, this is the plug where the suction machine was plugged into. But this is where it all happened.
This is one of them. Again, you got an exposed outlet over there. And by the way, that's a 220 outlet.
Yes.
That's amazing. That's a 220-volt outlet with no cover on it.
Right.
And we don't know if it's hot or not, but... Yeah, it's kind of chilling to think the number of babies that perished right here.
Well, over a 23-year period, we suspect anywhere from 25 to 50,000 babies died in this facility.
Wow, a lot of them in this room.
Yeah.
What's this next room?
Okay, Mark, this is the exam room. This is where women would get an exam prior to going into the abortion room. So you'd expect this place to be clean as well, but let me show you what's behind this door.
Wow. That's about as nasty as it gets right there.
Oh, this is absolutely disgusting. You look down in the corner there. Who knows what is
breeding.
What can be found.
Breeding, literally.
It's
actually roach droppings and mouse droppings or whatever those are. Look at this carpet. I mean, it's just... And this was an exam room with a woman who was thinking about having going into the next room for the procedure. This is where she got taught.
Right.
You know, I want to make sure people understand, and I don't want to do this, believe me, but I want people to understand how nasty this place really is. And remember, again, as you told me earlier, just a right. couple of weeks ago, this was an operating abortion clinic. This is not like something that built up over the years. Look at this. Is that amazing?
Absolutely disgusting. But let me show you just what's on the other side of this door. And the filth continues here, Mark. As you can see, there's no way that this would ever meet code. In fact, I'm kind of scared to even touch here, but you've got a circuit breaker box so close to a water heater that you can't even close the door.
Wow. You know, we had our building's fairly new in Life Dynamics, and we had a water heater blow the top of it off
right.
and flood the building one time. If that happened here, I mean, the sparks from the water going into that electrical box would do Lord knows what.
Yeah.
The place is really nasty. I noticed, Troy, that there's a rat trap or a mouse trapper down here on the floor. Did y'all put that here?
Oh, no. That and others are located in the building. We have not changed a thing in this place.
Wow.
And in here, Lord knows what happened, but it is absolutely beyond comprehension how filthy it is.
This is amazing. There's a cutting board here. Surely they didn't make lunch or something in this room, or... there's a sink. You know, I hope that people who are watching this can get a sense of how nasty this place is.
And again, babies were being dismembered. Women were receiving invasive surgical procedures in this building just a couple of weeks ago.
It's astonishing. Well, what do we have here?
Mark, this is the lab, the area where they would do the pregnancy tests. We saw the bathroom there a minute ago, and the women would pass their urine samples through this, I guess, very well-constructed door, and the pregnancy test would be conducted in this room.
Wow. You know, as filthy as this room is, this is the cleanest one in the place.
I think so.
All right, we've got room two here, it looks like, Troy. This is another procedure room. Boy, this looks like they just whitewashed the walls. They're not painting, and they didn't do a very good job. Of course, again, they're not taking any pride in this facility. You can see they're just painting over the plugs. But I mean, it's not even covering up the old blue paint that was under there. But the important thing to remember is, Troy, again, thousands of babies died in this room.
This very room.
Now, next door, I see the sign says recovery room.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
What's that about?
Okay. It's going here.
Wow. I mean, this is where the woman came to recover. Again, we've got electrical outlets with no boxes over them.
Right.
Look at the way the walls are matching up here.
Right. Just as dingy and dirty as can be. They've said that they've cleaned the carpets, but I certainly can't tell that this place has been cleaned.
The carpets all over the whole building are just nasty. Look at this another outlet. Not only does it not have a cover on it, part of the outlet's missing.
Yeah, it's missing a receptacle. The roof is coming in, and if you can see that the roof was actually leaking there in yet another place.
And then we've got this thing over here by the windows where the roof is falling down, obviously, and you can see up above the roof. You know, Troy, when you look at this place, and it's sad to think that a woman gets herself in a situation where she thinks coming to a toilet like this, and this is a toilet anyway you look at it, that coming to one of these kind of places is going to solve her problems. I mean, it's really sad that they really believe that and that they're sold that by the media and by the abortion industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's real sad.
Last thing I want to show you is probably the most chilling and frightening discovery that we found when we got into this building.
Okay.
So. This is the sink or the scrub room. That they took the babies to, and they would literally put them down this sink, and as you can see, there's an industrial garbage disposal.
Well, Troy, you know, there are going to be people out there that say, well, oh, they didn't really grind them up in the garbage disposal. Some of the abortion defenders are going to say that.
But there's absolutely no reason for a quote-unquote medical facility to have an industrial garbage disposal. This is, and we keep on hearing this from ex-employees, that that's what they did with them. I've had them come to my office and say,
that's right,
I had to work the scrub room, I had to hear the babies ground up, I had to push them down the garbage disposal. And now, this is absolute irrefutable proof that this is what happens.
You'll notice the bleach, you'll notice the Drano.
I guess the baby parts clogged it up sometimes.
Oh, I can smell it from here, but listen to this. This is the sound of grinding babies.
What is that smell?
It's pretty bad. Something came up. Obviously, the smell of death is heavy right here in this room and definitely down that disposal.
You know, you sit here and you look at that, Troy, and you think about it, it's even worse than being in those procedure rooms. This is where thousands of babies left this earth. They went down that drain. And, you know, it's, I guess, one of the things that I keep telling people about the saddest aspect of the abortion issue is that God sends a little child here, puts a child in a woman's womb, sends it to this earth, and the only interaction that that child ever has with other human beings is with the mother who took him to a place like this and with the animal who flushed him down that sink. And I, you know, if this nation thinks that it can continue to do this sort of thing and that there's not going to be a price to pay for it, we are nuts. This is going to come back on us, and I think it's already starting.
I do. Absolutely.
Well, brothers and sisters, what you have just seen and heard is information that you need to spread to others, because so many Americans presume that when Roe v. Wade made abortion legal, well, that automatically made it safe. That automatically means that the places where it's done must be clean, sanitary, medically prepared institutions. And that's not the case. You know, Mark, when you go to get any kind of legal surgery, I mean, you can presume that the person who introduces himself as the doctor is a doctor, that right, the instruments that are going to be put in your body have been sterilized. And I always tell people, yeah, you can presume all those things, except when it's an abortion clinic.
Absolutely. Father Frank, you know and I know, you would not take a dog or a cat to a veterinary clinic that looked like this place. I wouldn't leave my dog. We have a dog and a cat. I wouldn't leave either one of them in a place that looked this nasty.
Right.
And yet, the abortion industry will continue to say, oh, we self-regulate. We don't need to be regulated by the state. And that's what they always say anytime a state tries to pass clinic regulation.
Yes.
And right there in Kansas, last year, the Kansas legislature, which is the representative of the people, passed a clinic regulation bill that would have addressed this very problem.
Mm-hmm.
The radically hardcore pro-abortion governor of that state vetoed that legislation, saying it was unnecessary because they had among the cleanest facilities in the United States, and that they were regulated by things like the National Abortion Federation, and you saw the sticker there.
Yes, exactly.
That clinic passed the National Abortion Federation's clinical guidelines. If that clinic will pass, then there are no guidelines.
Well, you know what a lot of people will say is, they'll look at something like that and say, but how can this be? Don't these places get inspected by the health authorities?
Right. Well, sometimes they are, but here's the problem. There's not a city or a county or a state in this country that doesn't understand, and I've talked to these people and had them tell me this. If we go into one of these abortion clinics and we find these kind of horrid situations, and we try to do anything about it by shutting them down or making it, or arresting people or whatever it might be, this city is going to fill up with attorneys from the ACLU and from the National Abortion Federation, and we're going to be in court for the next 10 years. We're going to spend millions of dollars, and it's just not worth it. And they just don't do anything about it. They look the other way even when they know these things are going on. And sometimes they know it's going on and they look the other way because they're pro-aborts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening here in Kansas when you have, I think this governor ought to be indicted for dereliction of duty. She either knew this was going on,
right,
or she had an obligation to know it was going on.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Exactly. Well, thanks for exposing this, and we look forward to getting the word out far and wide and to continue to work with you on many different projects.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you, brothers and sisters. As some of you have read about some of these incidents and this material in the book Lyme 5 that Mark prepared quite a few years ago, but nevertheless, it still tells the story that unfortunately is still going on in legal abortion clinics around the country. So if you haven't yet read that book, we still have some copies available. We'll be glad to send you one. And you can use this to help convince your friends and neighbors that even if they don't think that the unborn child has a right to be protected, they'll very likely think that the woman who goes into those abortion clinics has a right to a safe and clean environment. And in legal abortion clinics in America, she's not going to find that. So continue to help us to spread the word. Stay with us now on our Gospel of Life program. After these breaks, we'll go to our action segment where you'll find even more ideas for things you can do to advance the culture of life.
I want to be a fireman when I grow up.
I want to be a teacher.
I want to be president of the United States.
I want to find a cure for cancer.
The choice to have an abortion alters the course of the future. Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Welcome to our action segment, where I'm joined by Janet Morana, our associate director, and we have a special painting to tell you about today that you can promote in order to spread the pro-life message. Janet?
Yes, the painting is called Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. And this painting was done by the artist Carol Hall. And she actually is an evangelical missionary. And her husband currently are in Japan, where they're doing bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to missionaries as a missionary spirit in Japan. But she painted this painting a number of years ago, made it available to us at Gospel of Life. And we've now created a great poster of this painting. And her hope is that it will help spread the message of the damage abortion is doing, the killing of the children. And we'd like to encourage people now to take a look at this poster. And as we're describing it, I'd like them to think of ways and places that they might hang this inspiring painting and really get people to think about the abortion issue and what is going on.
Basically, the photo is divided into two scenes, Earth's scene on the bottom and Heaven's scene on the top. Earth's trash, heaven's treasure, refers to babies. And you see at the bottom a garbage bin where outside of an abortion mill where babies who have been aborted are literally thrown away. And we know that this has literally happens. The babies thrown away on Earth are nevertheless received by Jesus, named and welcomed into the playground and the nursery of heaven.
And that's what you see there, you know, in the painting, is that the angels are taking the babies out of the dumpster, basically, and bringing them up to the Lord Jesus, wrapped in a yellow blanket, signifying God's glory. And there's the Lord there welcoming the babies into heaven.
Now, besides that contrast between earth and heaven, you also see another contrast right within the scene on earth. Because while the abortion mill is a place of sadness, and you see that the girl who's leaving has sadness on her face, and we've talked very often on Gospel of Life about the sadness that abortion brings, nevertheless, next to, or across rather, from the abortuary is a toy store full of life and joy and surprises. And in front of the toy store, you see a green tree blossoming. But the on the other hand, the tree in front of the abortuary has no leaves on it and no life.
Right. And then, of course, you know, as the Lord Jesus is accepting the babies up into heaven from the angels, he's giving them each a name and blessing them. And while those children had no name on earth, they now have a name with the Lord in heaven.
Now, how can people use a beautiful painting like this?
Well, you know, so often people say, well, you know, we don't want to have a pro-life billboard here in our church, or we don't want to have a poster in a school. It might upset people. But this painting is so pleasing to the eye, so beautiful to behold, yet it gives such a powerful imagery that they can put this in their church vestibule, in their school hall, in their center where they have a collation after services, as many places as they can think of. This this poster can hang, and there, just people gazing upon it itself, it will get the message across about what abortion is doing to these children.
If they contact us directly at gospeloflife.com, we can send this to them in any quantity that they wish.
That's right. And at the same time, getting that poster from us at the same time helps support the missionary work of the Evangelical Church in Japan, Carol Hall. We still, you know, make a little small donation to her, too. And so, therefore, they're actually supporting missionary work in Japan at the same time, plus giving a pro-life message.
The painting can be viewed more extensively, and the written explanation that we've just briefly touched upon can be read in its fullness on our website, again, gospeloflife.com.
That's right.
Well, thanks, Janet, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. If you want to listen to our programs online, you can receive the audio of Gospel of Life on gospeloflife.com. And also, when you go to our website, you'll see that you can send us your questions, your comments, your suggestions, your witnesses and testimonies, and we may well call you back and have you as a call-in guest on our program. Go to gospeloflife.com, and you'll see how to reach us. Also, brothers and sisters, we rely on the financial help of people just like you to get these programs out, to assist spreading pro-life literature to the churches, beautiful paintings like the one we've described to you today, and many other works that are saving lives from the tragedy of abortion. So consider Gospel of Life Ministries as part of your giving for the kingdom of God. We thank our friends at Life Dynamics for letting us use their studios here in Denton, Texas, and we invite you to join us again next week on Gospel of Life. Spread the word to your family and friends, and let's pray for one another.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
It's positive. I'm pregnant.
My boyfriend panicked, and I was worried what my family would say.
I just didn't know what to do.
If you're facing an unplanned pregnancy, you have options. You don't have to be alone. Call 1-800-395-HELP. Our services are totally confidential and free. If you're pregnant, call now. There is help.
Friends, as we conclude our program, may I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell other people about Gospel of Life. Tell them when these programs air so that they can tune in and learn more about the pro-life movement. Secondly, we like to hear from you. On our website, gospeloflife.com, you can even send us your prayer requests, and our entire ministry team will be more than happy to lift up your concerns and intentions before the throne of God. Thirdly, we're eager and ready to come to your community, to preach in your churches, to gather with your pro-life groups, and to help inspire you in the pro-life cause. And finally, we ask you to donate so that we can keep these programs on the air. You can send your tax-deductible contributions to us at Gospel of Life Ministries. Again, go to our website, and thank you.